is about redemption. Now, redemption is one of those words that we hear a lot in church. You don't necessarily hear it a lot anywhere else. But let's pray for the message, and we would redeem the time. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today about our own redemption, but about redemption as a not only a thought, but a reality in our lives. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've figured a few things out over the years about this Christianity stuff. And one of those things is the relationship between creation and redemption. We talk a lot about God as creator, and then we talk a lot about God as our redeemer come to us in Jesus Christ. We also have also been told that we are created in God's image and God is creator, and we have the power resident in us to create as well because we're created in God's image. But because we're fallen, a fallen race, we are also create a lot of hell. And our creations are susceptible to corruption. We also are called to new life, the redemption of our souls in Jesus Christ. And this word redemption literally means to pay off or buy back something which is in bondage. Redemption holds in it the idea to free from the consequences of sin, to remove the obligation of payment, to make good that which isn't good, to make worthwhile that which isn't worth anything. So a redeemer is someone who works to redeem or restore or repair and to help overcome something that is detrimental and futile. A creator is someone who makes something new where there was nothing before. We worship and praise God as creator and our Redeemer. Creation is to make something new. Redemption is to buy something back that has been stolen, lost, or enslaved. Now, I have two scriptures here that I want us to read together. Genesis 1:1 and Romans 3, verses 23 to 24. By the way, when I was in seminary, this is the one, the Genesis 1:1 is the one scripture that I learned in Hebrew. Rashith bara Elohim hashamayim ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's read these two scriptures together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Now, those two scriptures are kind of like the bookends today. As I said, I figured out something about this Christianity stuff. For me, God as Redeemer is more to be praised than as Creator, I think. It seems to me it is always easier to create something than it is to redeem something. Now, I want you to think about this. You know, it is a lot easier to make a baby and to go through the 9 months of pregnancy and to give birth and create a new human being than it is to redeem a child's life when they are 18 or 30 or 70 out of the dead situations which they can get themselves into. It is a lot easier to create than it is to redeem situations or people. I think of Bill Cosby's father talking in, when he was talking to his kids, and he says, "Well, son, if you don't straighten up, I'll just kill you and make another one just like you." It's a lot easier to create a new thing sometimes than it is to redeem an old thing that is present but broken. Have you ever been in a situation, or are you presently in a situation where you have been asked to do some work or and you kind of felt like this, "Well, Lord, why don't we just solve this whole thing by starting over? Let's just flush this baby right down the toilet and start over again." There have been and are marriages like that. There are job situations like that, businesses like that, financial situations like that, and relationships that are like that. There are even churches like that. Woodland Chapel was a church like that. When you have some bad things going on, brother to brother, parent to child, you might get called to be upon to be of some help, or you might be the person who is suffering from one of these situations in which it is difficult to redeem anything good out of it. A situation where there are all kinds of problems and no apparent solutions, and it doesn't look like there is any hope. Christian people or non-Christians, it doesn't make any difference. Lives, marriages, businesses, families, churches, which become what appears to be a hopeless mess and useless, and you might as well flush the whole thing. I've run into situations like that regularly over the years, and if I look at these situations from a strictly human viewpoint, it seems appropriate to say, well, let's just flush it. But I'm not called to do that, even though it looks like that at times. It wouldn't be a cool thing for me to come in and say, well, why don't you just trash the whole thing and start over? It may not be what I say, but I know it is infinitely easier to say, you know, it would be better if this never existed. Or it would be better if I never existed. Take the same goals you have for life, for your marriage, for your finances, or whatever, and just start over. I'll be glad to help you where I can. You know, sometimes I think like that. I don't say it, but sometimes I work with people and I pray with people with a tremendous sense of frustration because I know really what I am dealing with. It's so much easier to get rid of things, of people, and bring about something new. It's a lot easier to create something new than to redeem that which is broken. And we live in a society that thinks creatively. You know, creativity is honored in this society. Creativity will be applied to any number of things today, and almost anything now is fair game for trashing, right down to kids in the womb, to marriages that are having difficulty, to businesses, to jobs, to friendships, family relationships, even churches. Just trash it. Start over. It's too much trouble. It costs too much. And I'll get this stuff all over me if I work on this, so we start new. It's too hard to pay the debts off, so we go bankruptcy route, and that's the philosophy of our world. And we swim in that. It's a lot easier to create something new than it is to redeem something, and that is the mindset of our world, which says it is easier to trash things and people and start over than to redeem. And as followers of Jesus, we live in partnership with God, who says, I am not only creator, but I am redeemer as well. And I want to teach you another way, the way of redemption. Now, the way of redemption takes a lot longer and it costs a whole lot more, but it also injures less and things and people don't get trashed. It is the way of redemption that saves us, by the way, because it would be just as easy for God to say, well, I'm through with this bunch of jerks. I'll just create a new bunch. After all, I'm God, the Creator. In the Gospels, we see Jesus as the Messiah who comes to redeem. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus is the one who eats and drinks with sinners. He redeems the unwanted. He forgives the unforgivable. He comes as redeemer instead of God as creator, but it costs a lot more to redeem than it does to create. It costs God the life of his son, his very being, to redeem us. Jesus is God come to us as a redeeming Lord. And he comes to do a redemption, not only in terms of our lives, but to make us people who have an understanding and are in partnership with him, not only respond to him doing it in us, but making us instruments and agents to others of redemption. As we follow Jesus, we become agents of redemption, happening through the power of God. Now, the society we live in today constantly plays this song to us about how mistreated we are and how much disadvantage that puts us in terms of our lives, and how dysfunctional we can expect to be in terms of our relationships. And the song that the society sings is about being abused and being neglected, to how bad our parents were to us or are. And we have cultivated an entire culture, which includes us in the church, with a preoccupation with how much has happened to me and hurt me, how can I possibly be any good with all these problems I have inherited and the mistreatment that I have received over the years? And this culture of the victim mentality so occupies us that people bring suit to see if they can just get a few bucks out of their disadvantage. Now, this is contrary to all this Christian stuff that we talk about and we're supposed to believe in. We're called to be agents of redemption, but we have become so self-seeking that we don't see how God wants to use you or me as agents of redemption. But once again, it's a whole lot easier to make a new thing than to fix an old one in our throwaway society that we live in. We are called to be agents of redemption, even if there are some things in us that we need to be redeemed about as well. It requires a willingness to be an agent of redemption, though. But even if we're willing, we can still mess it up because we function out of our own humanity and our own human thinking. God works in ways we can't even fathom. And in order to redeem situations and people, we just don't see it. Last week, I talked about Moses starting over, and we talked about him killing that Egyptian down in Egypt and got run out of town. When Moses was a grown man, he was leaning toward his purpose to be redeemer of Israel from Egypt. But his desire for that redemption of his people showed itself in a very human way, as our solutions of redemption often show. Read with me again, Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15, which we looked at last week is why he got run out of town. Here we go. One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the man that did the wrong, "Why do you strike your fellow?" And he answered, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Okay. Moses sees the suffering of his people, and one day it gets to him as he sees a Hebrew being beaten by this Egyptian soldier. He ends up killing that Egyptian because he is trying to work out the redemption of God's people on his own power. What Moses doesn't understand is that God has more to use him for than just saving one guy. God wants to save a whole nation. Moses had a sense of mission on his life, but it was misguided and it was human thinking. So Moses ends up a murderer, and even if we can justify his action for killing that Egyptian, so what? What do we gain? Nothing. He defended one slave, and there are 2 million Israeli slaves at that time. And Moses' problem is that he was confined to a human viewpoint and understanding of how things work. And he applies a human solution to a problem that can only be answered from heaven. What is Moses going to do? Take on one taskmaster at a time? Are we going to free these people one person at a time? And the impossibility of Moses' approach is that he can't accomplish the redemption of those people his way. The human way of dealing with situations is to strike out in aggression or words or verbal attacks or doing something. And we think, if I'm going to have anything good come out of this, I got to do something. Well, then things become frustrating, counterproductive, because it makes a false assumption that if I resolve the problem, it will go away. But it never does. We think from a human standpoint. The second thing that happens to us is that we fail to deal with a spiritual solution. The truth is that behind every human dilemma, there may be an inept, sinful people. And there can also be mean and evil people. But there can also be a dimension of demonic activity, and just because nobody is frothing at the mouth, writhing on the floor, doesn't mean that hell isn't involved in the situation, tangling the circumstances and slamming doors. Hell's way is to block what God wants to do in people's lives. When I think of the story of Moses, it is obvious that he was functioning from a strictly human viewpoint, and that wasn't going to address the central problem of redemption of a people from an evil situation. And for us to understand how we become agents of redemption to other people, we need to view a situation, a person, or a circumstance from God's viewpoint and not apply a human solution. When Moses tried to fix the situation with a human solution, it backfired on him. Redemption is a lot tougher than creation. I see the frustration so often in our human solutions to situations and relationships and circumstances and people who need to be redeemed and saved. And I've seen it in the spouse who gets frustrated that their spouse won't move along in their spiritual life, marriages that are in trouble. And I tell you, it takes divine intervention to redeem some marriages. We often try to work out the human solution. And we force people into things that they aren't. It becomes a place like Moses and the Egyptian taskmaster. It becomes a point of conflict and breakdown rather than redemption. And when it comes to moving people along in terms of redemption through Jesus, whether we're talking about a spouse, a child, a friend, a business associate, a fellow job worker, what we can do is try to work out the human solution. And all it does is worsen the situation. What we can do is we goad somebody toward God. And it's never said that way, but we try to goad people into a better relationship with God. And within that kind of human action, there is this thinking that we're somehow beyond what they are, and we need to bring them along. Well, that is not redemptive action. That is frustrated faith and mission. And I think that the answer to a lot of this is to quit worrying about your spouse's spiritual life or a child or a friend or that life situation. I think the best thing to do is to just to love people in their circumstances and their situations. Divine redemption happens because of love. Now, it sounds very cliche, doesn't it? But it is true. Divine redemption happens because of love. It happens to us because God loves us so much that he sent his son. Just love them as God sees them. Love them like the husband, the child, the friend, the job, the church, the business, like you want it to be. So just love them. Accept them as they are and let the Lord do the rest and make you an agent of redemption. But as I said, it seems to me that it requires a whole lot less love to create something than it is to redeem something that's broken, and especially people. I don't know if you've seen the movie Rudy. It came out about 20 years ago or so, where this young man wants to play football at Notre Dame, and in his frustration, he goes to the priest. And as he's talking to the priest, trying to receive counsel and build his case, one day Rudy comes in and he says things just aren't working. And I have this 30-second cut from Rudy.
taken your appeal to a higher court.
I'm desperate. If I don't get in next semester, it's over, done. Notre Dame doesn't accept senior transfers.
Well, did a hell of a job, kid. Chasing down your dream.
I don't care what kind of job I did. If it doesn't produce results, it doesn't mean anything.
I think you'll discover that it will.
Maybe I haven't prayed enough.
I'm sure that's not the problem. Praying is something we do in our time. The answers come in God's time.
Have I done everything I possibly can? Can you help me?
Son, in 35 years of religious studies, I've come up with only two hard, incontrovertible facts. There is a God, and I'm not him.
There's a God, and I'm not him. Now, there's tremendous wisdom in that. Leave the driving to God and don't drive people yourself. Redemption is very difficult to do, and it is really only accomplished with the power of God working through you. The only thing that can redeem things and people is God. I have seen marriages and relationships that have long-term years. And love seems to cover a multitude of sins. But sometimes things happen so much and so often, little things, that they finally kill somebody. Maybe not physically, but kill them anyway. And I can be talking about a marriage or a relationship between a parent and a child. And there's just so much stuff that we do to one another. The only way to redeem that is through the power of God, because the power of God gives new life, and it is love that is the power behind redemption. The love of God brings resurrection power to dead situations, dead people, and dead relationships, and it makes us agents of redemption. The truth is that the only way that that happens is the love of God working through us, because we can't do it on our own. I hope you begin to see the relationship between creativity and redemption. It's a lot easier to start something new than to redeem something that is old. It's a lot easier to make a new person than it is to redeem one who has managed to warp and twist their life. You know, you can't forgive a person without the power of God working through you to love them. And you can't be forgiven by another person unless the power of God is working in them to forgive you. And it takes divine love. Because what a person is doing when they forgive you is they are redeeming you out of your own sin against them. That's the restoring of a relationship. This is what Jesus does for us as Redeemer, and we're called to be agents of his divine redemption to others. It cost him his life, and it will also cost you a piece of yours as well. And we're called to do the same as Jesus, to be agents of redemption in relationships, situations, circumstances, from financial to family, from business to job, from friends to church, but it is all done through the power of God's love working in us and through us. And like the priest in Rudy, in the movie Rudy, I've learned two things. There is a God, and I'm not him. I don't have the power of redemption in me, but I can be a vessel and an agent of redemption, which God pours into me towards others. How do we become available to that kind of redemptive love, which redeems people and situations? Well, the first thing we have to do is drop our desire to defend God and his reputation. God, you know, I don't have to defend him. Jesus looked like a pretty poor example of God. Or didn't you know? They killed him. We kill him. The church killed him. The reason he looked like such a poor example was while they were yet sinners, or should I say while we were yet sinners, God gave himself up for us, Christ died for us, and that looks pretty chintzy. We don't have to guard God. He's big enough to rise above our petty understanding of life and fulfill his purpose. We learn to be agents of redemption when we come to the place where we let go of the outcome and the control of the situation. We have to surrender the advantage in order to become agents of redemption. And I need to say that again. We need to surrender the advantage. One of the greatest challenges to us is to remove ourselves from posturing, from our position, whatever that is. Posturing would be me taking the position of pastor up here and not acknowledging that I am anything like you people at all. Where I don't get my hands dirty in people's lives. Now, that's functioning out of my position. And then I'm never acknowledging that you have the same things going on in you that I have. It would be like doctors who never acknowledge that they're working on people. Do you ever get that feeling when you go to see them? They're not working on a person here. They're working on a thing. But they never acknowledge that they're working on somebody just like them. In order to be an agent of redemption, you have to humble yourself. You become like those you are involved with. In order that God can really use you, and to do that is an act of faith. When we just function out of our position, we think we have strength. In order to give that strength up, it takes humility, faith, and love. You know, every time we go to prison, whether it's a men's prison or the women's prison, we have to become like them. You can do everything right, but there is a world of difference between posturing from a position in life and humbling yourself and becoming like somebody on their level of existence. I'm not better than you are. I can be just as confused and messed up as the next guy. If I give advice or help redeem a situation, I am just a person like anybody else. And the truth is, you may not be like them in their situation. You may actually have higher ground. In fact, in order to be an agent of redemption, you must have higher ground in that situation. But you have to come down off your mountaintop seat and get down into the valley of their trouble and death. And that is if you want to be an agent of redemption. And unless the love of God is in you, you're not going to do that. That is exactly what Jesus did for us, and he calls all of us who really follow him to do the same thing. You have to come down off that mountaintop, that high place that you think you are seated in, and you have to become like the people around you, and you can't fake it. In order to be an agent of redemption, you can't fake it. Jesus didn't fake being human. He became like us. It was not condescending either. He was like us. Occasionally, some of you tell me that I must be looking in your windows with some of these messages, and all that tells me is that I am living a life of a human being just like you are, and just like everybody else. And I may have the job as pastor of this church, but I have the same things going on in my life, and all I'm giving you is stuff that's down on your level because that's where I live as well. You know, sometimes, though, it is scary to come down off your profession or your age or your position in life in order to work with people who are in need of redemption. The difference between religion and redemption or church and Jesus is the love of God that stoops. The religious way of solving other people's problems can come off pretty burdensome. It's not that it is wrong, it just doesn't redeem because it comes from the posture of religion. When religion speaks, people know that we really don't understand what they are because we aren't down in their trench. We're not down in their gutter, their job, their marriage, the situation where they are. We just can't, we don't understand. We don't have anything to do there. And we can pontificate from the pulpit or the pew, but it puts us in a power seat, and redemption never happens that way. And since there is a God and I'm not him, I know that a position of superiority has to be surrendered when redemption is really needed. That's what Jesus did. He surrendered his position. I think this year ought to be a year of redemption. I don't know what's going on in your life. I do take tours in people's lives. I know some things, but there may be a person or a situation or a circumstance around you that needs an agent of redemption. And you might be that person. So as we start this year, what do you think? You know, I sing praises to God as my creator. But I more affectionately sing praises to God and Jesus, who is my redeemer. To create is an act of self. And many times it is self-serving. To redeem is an act of self-dying out of love for someone or something. Let's let this year be the year of our redemption. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today and we thank you for your creative, the fact that you created us, but we also really thank you for the fact that you redeem us out of our life and our death situations. In Jesus' name, amen.